All right, Flyover family, you know what time it is. I'm flying solo today, so hopefully I'm up to the occasion. This is our chance to be able to look at the current news cycle, which is wacko, crazy, and with more elements in it than ever before that are very interesting. And you got to break down the thing behind the thing. A person's doing this, but why are they doing that? Why are they pushing this legislation? Why are they going that direction? That's the stuff you get when you look at news through the eyes of a professional news producer. She's former Fox News, left them because she said, you know what? I'm not going to take your forced mandate and I can blaze my own trail. She's been a producer with Newsmax, Major League Baseball, kind of you name it, and is an incredible Substack, incredible show of her own. And it's a great way to be able to, again, poke at the news cycle and kind of see not just the thing they're telling you, but why are they telling you that and what's the next move. The host of the Brianna Morello Show, the one, the only Brianna Morello.
David, it's not easy doing this on your own, but you're crushing it. So congratulations.
So far, so good. I tell you what, you know, we go through your Twitter feed and we're kind of examine all this stuff. And so it's always kind of like fresh to the minute news. And I love your show because, you know, we kind of fly at maybe 50,000 feet looking more like culture, current events, you know, at that. But you're kind of down in the muck, in the nitty gritty, like interviewing people from, you know, Jim Jordan to lawmakers to newsmakers all the way around every single day. And in, you know, you're in there wrestling with the pigs, you know, and putting the news out. We're so thankful for what you're doing because you had the ability to say, you know what, I can buy my own microphone and I can do these myself. I don't need the, you know, the Fox News machine behind me. And I tell you what, truth in your ability to break that apart and look at the things is just increased in value because it's become so rare. If diamonds washed up on the beach, they'd be as cheap as sand. Anytime something's rare, it becomes more valuable. And your ability to break down stories is really the best there is on Rumble or any platform out there.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's not easy. There's a lot going through, especially nowadays with in talks of just the news cycle. It seems to be switching every couple of hours. And so it writes itself, but it's interesting at least.
I encourage, you know, Flyover family, go to BriannaMorello.com. There's also a way that you can support her because you're doing that with Fox and other places. If you don't know it, like they're brought to you by Pfizer, brought to you by all the people that they're kind of trying to supposed to be, you know, independent journalists of. And if you like the kind of reporting that she's doing, you can go there and support her, you know, $5 a month, $7 a month, $20 a month, or just a one-time donation. But the work that she does, going to DC, going to Rumble headquarters, having these kind of conversations, she went to Dallas to follow a case. She's doing this all on her own and remains the kind of autonomy that allows this to be possible. So if you want to get behind that, way you can do it, go to supportbree.com, supportbree.com, and encourage you to go to BriannaMorello.com. That's how you can get a launching pad into her Substack, her Rumble channel. But her Twitter following has been huge because you've been building that the whole time when you were working, you know, for the machine. And then when you stepped out, you just said, hey, you know what, the gloves are off and I'm going to tell my stories. And the first one I'll jump in here is the news cycle has shifted. The media and our politicians want us to focus on these pro Hamas college protests. What are they trying to redirect you from looking at? And that's an interesting question that I don't hear anybody else asking. What do you mean by that? And when you see these protests on campuses, what are you seeing that we're not seeing?
Yeah, well, we're heading into an election year. 4 years ago, we had the Summer of Love, and we saw how politicians were able to manipulate the media and have the media manipulate the American people into creating chaos in our society. And they were doing so, and everyone was getting super emotional about it. And so I think we need to remember that 4 years ago, that was happening. And yet again, it's happening as we're looking to head towards November. So I think a lot of people need to be on high alert for just emotional stories that are kind of getting people involved and getting them out there on the streets. Now, ultimately, these pro-Hamas protesters who are going nuts in these college campuses, I am not bothered by it as much. And here's why. Number one, they do have a right to protest. Now, hear me out. I understand that a lot of people are saying that they don't have a right to be there if it's private property and the school doesn't, they weren't licensed to have a protest, they can't be there. But these colleges, these universities, they raise these machines, these kids who they've manipulated their minds into thinking just this, this is their fault. So they need to figure out and dig their way out of it instead of using law enforcement, state resources, county resources. They have their own police department. Let them handle it. I'm so tired of seeing other members of other law enforcement agencies get dragged into this because we all know in New York, for an example, Attorney General Tish James actually went after the NYPD after the Summer of Love and sided with the protesters and actually forced the NYPD to give over a settlement when in fact they shouldn't have had to do that at all. There shouldn't have been the violence that took place at all. And for some reason, still our top attorney in the state sided with the violent protesters. So I don't want to open up law enforcement to any more liabilities when they have to. So that's another angle of all of it. But also remember this weekend, and they specifically waited to this weekend or last weekend, I should say, to push forward foreign aid funding, over $95 billion worth of it. And of course, more than half of it goes to Ukraine. Then the rest goes to Taiwan and it goes to Israel. And then they're giving it to NGOs as well. I believe it's $3.5 billion is going to NGOs to keep bringing more illegals into our country. And so what I mean by that is Speaker Mike Johnson has a black eye because it does nothing for conservatives. It does nothing for Republicans. It was him just pretty much falling to his knees and just saying, okay, whatever you guys want, we'll do for you. And I think people need to realize that yesterday he was actually at Columbia University speaking about the protests and then was doing a media tour. And so what that does is it doesn't have people asking questions about the foreign aid funding anymore. The media is no longer asking about it. Now they're focused on what he's telling them to focus on, and that's the Columbia protests. And so I think people need to kind of just look at it from that angle. This is being used to kind of deflect the attention from what he's been doing these last couple of weeks, even waiving your Fourth Amendment rights. So I think people need to pay attention to that.
All right, let's frame it like that then. So as a magician, you know, you'd be like getting somebody distracted with this hand and then they don't see what they're doing with this hand. So that's kind of how you're framing it. Like, okay, this is happening, but it's meant to be a distraction from the bigger thing that's happening. It's like, you know, throwing a rock over there and then attacking over here. It's like distracting somebody. But let's stick just with the Hamas protesting alone. What is your stance? And there's a lot of controversy in the comments of your tweets on this of like, okay, then they're calling for the genocide of a people group. You know, so is that fine? You know, where do we let, how do you look at a college campus? Do you look at it being like its own independent little country that should be run by the administration, and whatever happens there, they make their bed, they sleep in it, you know, and just kind of let them suffer the repercussions. You look at Columbia University, we're showing clips of it there a second ago, and I think they've now canceled all physical classes and they've gone virtual for the rest of the year. We had a parenting philosophy when our kids were growing up, and it was like, simply, I'm going to give you the opportunity to control yourself. When we go into a store, when we ride in the car, if you can't control yourself, then we will. So if they, our kids couldn't control their hands, then their hands were in timeout, you know, because now, or their hands are in their pockets when we're in a store. Like everything, you know, it just scales down, you know, till eventually, like if I can't control how I drive, police are going to pull me over. And, you know, if you can't control yourself, someone else does. So are you just think each campus should be treated with autonomy and let their own policies create the fruit of those decisions?
Yeah. So first off, I don't agree with what they're saying. And I do want to emphasize that. And I've always been very clear about that, that I don't agree with these pro-Hamas. That's also why I refer to them as pro-Hamas rather than pro-Palestine, because that's what they want to be referred as to. But they're not. They're siding with terrorists. Right. So that's the first thing that needs to be driven home over there. And I think a lot of people get very emotional about it. And in some cases, rightfully so. But the reality of it is these schools need to be held accountable, right? These schools need to go after these students who are saying, making comments referring to genocide. And we've seen it before. They're using like Malcolm X terms to whatever, by whatever means necessary. And that's unacceptable. But the school should be getting rid of these students, right? They should be forced out of the school for doing that. The school doesn't want to get involved. The school's just sitting here and playing down the middle and doesn't want any involvement in any of this. And that's not acceptable. So there's different avenues you could go through about that. I would definitely tell students that, number one, if my school was allowing that stuff to happen, I would leave. I've spoken to people who have gone to Columbia, NYU, and other schools that are going through this right now, and they've just pulled their donations from them. And the money speaks volumes. And so eventually the school's going to have to answer when everyone starts taking their money. But I guess the point I want to drive home here is we now live in a society where the government gets to decide, they think they get to decide what is dangerous free speech and what isn't. And I think that's kind of the line where I'm just getting like, I don't want to touch it because I personally believe what they're saying is wrong. Yes. But if you ask somebody else from their perspective on it, they'll tell you that it's not wrong, right? So we're seeing that play out right now in our government where they're saying, well, what happened on January 6th? What was said, what was done that day was wrong because the other people don't agree with you. And so I would say that it's really, really hard to kind of dictate and play it down the middle on that stuff. And I, for one, wouldn't want to be the person doing so. But I think we need to start educating younger people. I think that they've been completely brainwashed by the schools. They have no idea what they're arguing. You know, there was a tweet that I also posted of a young student who was
we're gonna play that clip. Luke Radowski retweeted it. You said the perfect political prop, ignorant, liberal, white, and female. And let's just play that clip and then let's get your comment on that, because this is kind of what's growing.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either. I came from Colombia. I was there up at Colombia, and we came down. They said NYU students needed our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it was getting dangerous.
Okay, so she doesn't know exactly why she's there, but they've preached this ideology that there's the oppressors and the oppressed. And I think in a lot of their minds, like, Israel's a thriving nation, doing well economically, they have a functioning society, and then you've got these Hamas terrorists it's the political party basically of the opposition, and they're not doing as well. These people are, you know, it's so no matter what happens in this conflict, I think it's seen through that lens of oppressor oppressed, you know? And so I think they're just kind of like, well, because if you went down the agenda of Hamas's demands, they wouldn't probably sign with their position on gays. They wouldn't, you know, be on board with their position on any of these issues. If there's a TikTok kind of video going around where there's a kid saying, hey, will you sign this petition that's pro Hamas? And people are like, absolutely. And they're like, well, before you sign it for legalities, I need you to check off on each of the positions. And they're like, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with this. I don't agree with that. So like when they look at the actual policies of what is happening, they're taken aback, but they want to enrage and be involved in these protests. So it's going from Columbia University down to NYU. It's growing in energy with all of that. So where does this go to, and where do you draw the line of saying that's a problem or it's not a problem, or just anything that they're doing, as long as they're not harming others and stopping? What is your position on that? What advice would you give to this young gal?
Yeah, I think they're not educated. And I think that's the core issue here. You're talking about Ivy League schools, and these kids are paying thousands and thousands of dollars to go to school. They have no idea about any of these issues. Listen, Hamas is a terrorist organization. What they did to Israel was disgusting. It was deplorable. It was something that needs to be met with war. I mean, there's just no other way to do it. That was they crossed the line, and everyone needs to understand that. And they're calling for, you know, a ceasefire, but there was a ceasefire prior to October 7th, and yet they didn't respect it. So this is what happens when you do something that egregious. So that's that for sure. I think that these college students aren't educated, and I think it highlights just that. They don't understand what's going on right now, and they're being used. So I would want to know, number one, who's funding these protests? Because they have all these nice tents that they're all plopping up onto the grass. Who's paying for that? I know it's not college students who aren't paying for that. So who's paying for that? Who's organizing, sending that message for her to go to NYU to help support the NYU students? I think that's important. That should have been a good follow-up question for this young woman, because I want to know who's doing these things. I'm more interested in what's going on behind the scenes in all of this and why it's so well orchestrated, because again, this could be just used to kind of pull at our attention to another story instead of looking at what's going on. You know, the news cycle this week was crazy, mainly because, and we'll probably talk about this soon, but with President Donald Trump, there was redacted documents that were now unredacted documents, thanks to Judge Cannon. And it pretty much highlights the coordinated effort between the Biden administration to go after President Trump. And it does highlight just that. And And so I think they don't want you paying attention to that. They don't want you seeing that. And so that's why they're doing that. And then you also have the prosecution that's now going to go be taking place in Arizona. So there's a lot of things that they're diverting your attention from. So I think that has to do with who's behind these protests. I don't think that it's a good thing for college students to be siding with Hamas, but maybe we should be doing study abroad programs. Maybe we should be sending these students to Gaza and see what they like mm-hmm. over there for themselves. I mean, listen, I strongly do not side with Hamas. I know that if we were to give them, let's say, some of their in Gaza, some of their citizens refugee status here in the U.S., they would want to kill us. They are not people sure. that we can associate with, and that's just the reality of it. They are brainwashed, sadly. So I think these college students don't know that, and they think that they're doing something for the greater good, but they're not. They don't realize that. So I think they need to be put in a position where they have to realize that.
But will the colleges bear the brunt of this? Because for years, a conservative speaker on a college campus has not been deemed a safe place. It's not been deemed a safe place for a comedian to go to a college campus. You know, even like a Bill Maher, who's, you know, as left as you can get on most every issue, says, I no longer even go to college campuses because I'm going to be shouted down, protested if I don't say everything that these kids agree with. It's hard to be funny. It's hard to do comedy, you know, when you're, you know, just an SNL formula playing, you know, to one particular party. Comedy's kind of eliminated. So they've banned conservative speakers from campuses for the most part, and then promoted, you know, known terrorists to come onto colleges and speak. And so they've sort of created this culture, but will they, you know, could the marketplace determine this is kind of what you're saying? Like it should work yeah. itself out, and then they just get defunded and become so wacko that people look at them as being just a big, you know, like daycare camp for teenagers.
Yeah. I mean, Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, actually went and spoke with the president of Colombia, and she said that she did criticize her for not doing enough. And so that's a Democrat saying that. So hopefully that works out. Now, what should happen on the back end of all of this is they should lose funding. And if you're a parent who's sending your child to Colombia, you should pull yeah. your kid out. Those universities, those colleges, their degrees honestly do not have value anymore. They used to be highly respected. I know when I went to college, and it wasn't that long ago, when somebody who in our high school was going off to an Ivy League school, I was jealous because I thought, wow, this person's going to have a great head start in life. And it's the opposite. And so I think people need to realize what you're actually doing and start pulling your money out of these institutions.
Because you think from a corporation, if you're going to hire somebody that came out of Columbia, out of NYU, out of one of these schools, you're like, oh my gosh, we're getting a nightmare, you know, of what kind of a person are we getting? I want to go to your next week because, I mean, we could spend all day on that topic. And, you know, you got Jewish professors being locked out of colleges. It's a crazy time. And it is a fair thing, you know, where if somebody's a free speech absolutist, you know, where do you land on that? And I do think that needs to be looked at closely. All right. Ukraine is losing this war. Thousands more will be slaughtered. Billions more will go towards funding the war machine. In the end, America will suffer its greatest loss. I think one of the saddest moments in history when I saw the House floor, over half of the participants of our elected officials are waving Ukrainian flags in there. The video speaks for itself. You listen to this on audio only, you probably have seen this go around, but literally the House of Representatives looks like it would have been from a foreign nation. What's next? What's next for our country when those are our elected officials and they seem to care much more about creating wars in foreign countries than they do about taking care of their own citizens?
Yeah, I don't know if they're just ignorant or if they're all just corrupt at this point, honestly. They're funding the war machine and they're going to continue to fund it. Sadly, Ukraine's going to lose this war. And, you know, we hear all these politicians saying that this isn't just a giveaway. This is like a loan. What happens when countries lose wars, especially ones over territories like this? And it's going to happen. Ukraine might not be a country. And that's just the reality. So you can't sit there and say we're giving them a loan because we might never get that loan back. And that's just the reality right now that we all have to deal with. So, and it's not just, you know, we're giving them a loan. We're getting loans ourselves. I mean, we can't even fund our own government. We can't even single-handedly fund our own government. We're running deficits every year, as you know, obviously, David. You're very well in the economic situation right now in our country. But I would say that this is just heartbreaking to see because, again, we could end all this. I think Russia and Ukraine need to come to the table and decide because at this point, Ukraine's not keeping its entire country. It's going to lose territory. No. And at this point, it's a matter of how much.
They're losing and they're going to lose. The Russian military is now 15% bigger than it was the day they invaded Ukraine, and they're more equipped and well-funded. Even if you just look at the breakdowns of the amount of rounds of ammo that they make per day compared to the NATO-aligned nations, it's not even close. It's like 1,000 to one. They are equipped to stay in this and be successful. And it seems to be just funny. There, the nuclear threats too between Poland and the Russian border is getting increasingly intense. And it seems like we're just egging them on until eventually this thing is going to become kinetic on a much larger scale.
Yeah, and we can't sit here and keep saying that we're not involved in the war while we continue to fund it by billions and billions of dollars. We are involved in this war. And I think, you know, all of these globalists and all these people just right now, the folks that you saw just waving their flags, right? They think that it's okay to sacrifice Ukrainian lives because in the long run, we're just weakening the Russian army is how they kind of view it.
Not so working.
They're going to lose life. And it's not working. It's not working at all. And honestly, that's a heartbreaking, disgusting way to even think in the first place, because I don't think the Russian people are bad people. I think they have a bad leader. And I can only imagine what people think of us because we have bad leaders, too. So my heart breaks for all of them because, you know, they're being forced to go and die in these wars. These young men are being forced to die for their country in wars that are just completely preventable. They're just territory wars. There's nothing to this. And so it's heartbreaking that we continue to fuel this, because I don't think we have to at all.
There's a reason why our show is not called the Flyover Republicans. It's Flyover Conservatives specifically, because we don't necessarily, if you watch this show very long, we hold Christians and Republicans accountable probably more than any other thing that we focus on, and call out those double standards. And I want people to know exactly where you align politically. You got a tweet that breaks it down pretty simple. I think this is pretty good ideology. You say, I don't align with any political party. My political beliefs are simple, though. Okay. Here it is. We should have some music or something coming behind this. But I believe in prioritizing Americans, keeping Americans safe, limiting government, defending the Constitution, and eliminating pedophiles. I don't know who's going to push back on that. Probably people are against America and pro-pedophilia. Those beliefs are now viewed as radical. Maybe we're onto something. Yeah. All right. That's pretty good wrap up of people want to know, well, then Brianna, you're not for this, you're against this, and where do you stand? I think you make it pretty clear where you stand. And I think most Americans, probably on the left and the right, probably if you sat them down one-on-one, they probably would agree with that statement.
Yeah, I mean, I'd hope they would. I mean, listen, I just want to see America thrive, and we're not thriving right now. And there's a lot of changes that need to be made because of it. I mean, we're not going to have, you know, we can't just sit here and keep importing migrants from other countries and have, you know, we're literally importing more migrants than we are creating American life. And so I think we have a massive issue on our hands right now, and people just don't understand it. I used to, you know, I went from believing that I was a Democrat to a Republican to a conservative to now I'm just saying I'm done with all of you. And this is what my moral compass is, and you either fall in line with it or you don't, and that's where I'm going to fall on all my beliefs. So as of right now, I mean, I used to be super enthusiastic about a lot of Republicans. These days, I just don't trust anyone. I think they're all selling us out, and so I think a lot of Americans need to stop getting upset. So like the first tweet we cited before we started the segment fired up a lot of people because they thought I was anti-Israel, and that's not what it is. But ultimately, my point is this: we should all be able to have disagreements and not get upset, not get infuriated, not get nasty. And all these, like, I mean, everyone was coming after me on Twitter for my first tweet. We could have conversations. We could have debates. We need to get back to that. We need to get back to the core of our American values and stop getting so nasty and stop getting so vile over just little things that we should be able to debate openly. And we sadly no longer can. And I think it's really upsetting.
You talk about the J6 cases a lot. You've probably done more one-on-one conversations, bringing light to these as they've unfolded. You've made sure that these men and women are not forgotten, and that justice needs to be upheld in these what I consider very politically motivated FBI raids and things. You got a tweet here about Ken Harrelson. We got a guy now that's free. There's a win. Let's talk about something good on that front for a second.
Yeah. Sergeant Ken Harrelson, sadly, he was one of the Oath Keepers. He was put on trial, and the Department of Justice actually put people who they knew were lying on the stand. And sadly, they sentenced him to over 3 years in prison. But he got the lightest of the sentences. The rest of them are going away for over a decade, some near even two decades. And no one's really stepped in and called out the DOJ for their lies. But thankfully, you know, we could celebrate the small win. Ken Harrelson is out of jail, and he will be sitting with us exclusively to discuss what happened when he was in jail, his trial and everything. Yeah, so that will be on my show shortly. I told him just kind of hold on, you know, wait, decompress, enjoy your life, settle in, and then we could go off and talk about all these things. I think it's really important for people to understand what he had to endure. I mean, this man literally tried turning to a pastor in one of the prisons that he was at and asking him for services, and the pastor turned to him and pretty much told him no because he's a white supremacist, even though he has interracial family members. And they just constantly beat this man down. Yeah, yeah, not a very good one. No, they just constantly beat these people down, and he's had to suffer a lot while he was in jail. So it will be enlightening for folks to hear from him. But I know his wife is very, very happy that he's home now.
Mm. Let's jump to this next one. I don't know how you can look at the indictments and the court cases and the things coming against President Donald Trump anything other than election interference. The corporate media hacks are drooling on air as they detail why President Trump can't campaign 7 days a week, because he's facing bogus criminal trials. You have to be a moron in order to digest their propaganda. I like how you just kind of cut to the chase there. So tell me what motivates these morons, and how do they see this as democracy?
I know. Don't you cringe whenever they say defend democracy? That's when you know it's like the communist dog whistle at this point. It's not good when they say that. I usually cringe every time. But I think it's interesting because I was watching MSNBC and I'm listening to all of them. I mean, they're literally drooling over the fact that he can't even campaign. I mean, that's just so un-American. But then again, that's why they're doing all of this, is to keep him busy. So he's not campaigning. So they're draining him financially. They're doing all these things to get at, to go after him.
Yep.
Un-American, but not enough people are calling it out. You know, we just saw what happened in Arizona earlier on this week. And in Arizona, they're indicting people close to Trump. And what it's meant to do, again, is to create pressure on the same characters, the Giuliani, who is his attorney, Jenna Ellis. Obviously, she's pretty weak. She always falls. But Christina Bob, who should have never been indicted in the first place. She's a great human being, a great attorney. But it's meant to go after these lawyers so that there's pressure involved. So if they do steal the November election again, which I strongly do believe that they will, any lawyer would be crazy to take on President Trump as a client, represent him, and go after whoever stole the election because, well, they know what comes to those individuals. And I think Americans need to wake up and realize what's going on here. The cases in Fulton County, New York City, here in Florida, they're all crumbling against President Trump. And so they're using the Arizona one as another thing to pop up and to go after him. And they don't stop. What motivates them specifically, David, is hate. They have hate in their heart, and that's what's fueling them. They hate somebody they don't even know, that they've never even met. But because he pushes back and he doesn't give in to what they want and what the establishment wants, they go after him full force. And that's what you're seeing playing out right now. This is why so many politicians don't stick their necks out, because they know what will happen to them if they do. So sadly, this is what we have going on right now in our country.
Yep. And people are living in fear of non-elected agencies. You know, they're scared of the FBI. You're scared of the CIA. You're scared of, like, government has never been looked at as like, oh, you know, the safest, best organization, you know, in history. I'm talking like anyone that's ever lived throughout all of history, their government maybe doesn't necessarily always operate in their best interest. And that's kind of why America was a shining light, because we had elected representation. But there's such a gap between what the people want, what they expect, and what they were told was going to happen, and what leaders do when they get into those positions. And then we have these lifelong bureaucrats that are just, they just kind of wait it out. Presidents are there 4 years, and then you got guys like, you know, Mitch McConnell and Joe Biden that make a 40-50 year career out of just ebbing and flowing and chipping away and enriching themselves. That's why I love the kind of guests that you bring on the Brianna Morello Show, because I don't know anybody that's diving into the truth of what's going on. The Julie Kelly, this is an incredible interview that you had. I mean, if people don't know Julie Kelly, man, she's been a guest with Tucker, you know, throughout the years, and just always doing the research behind the scenes and some of these documents she's putting out. And you had a chance to have a great sit down with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Julie Kelly is one of the best. I would probably say she is the best, honestly. Yep. I don't think there's anyone else coming close to her, because she could, and I joke with her all the time about how amazing she is at this, but she could sift through a bunch of court documents and figure out which ones to pull out. Now, the Florida case that's going on right now, it's in regards to the classified documents. If you don't know all the players and all the characters involved in that case, it's really hard to find these gems that Julie is able to find. And so she's able to extract the parts in these documents that are being unsealed, tell you who the people who are involved here, tell you why it's relevant, and break it down to like the simplest form. So sometimes the tweets can kind of be a little confusing. So I had her on the show, and she just did an incredible job simplifying everything so that if you weren't paying attention from day one, this interview will get you caught up on everything that you need to know with all the key players. And she does an excellent job at doing that. So we've got that up on our Rumble page now. But if you're looking to follow somebody on Twitter too, Julie's a great follow because there's more documents being unsealed, and she's the first one to get them. She's the first one to dig through them. And I mean, even the Supreme Court hearings, opening arguments that were happening earlier this week as well, she was there, she was listening to it, and she was creating the simple form of it so you could follow it and feel like you're informed. So she's great at that, and I'd highly recommend everyone give that a listen because she's one of the best.
And people got to go on the Brianna Morello channel because I tell you what, literally every day you're uncovering something. And there's like 20 things I wanted to get into with you today because like you're having 2-3 guests a day. You have a nightly show coming out every single night. And if people want to cut through all the opinions, and I think this and conspiracy and this is like – you only talk about things that you have the receipts for, and it's actual real documents, real research. This is what's happening. If people want to know, you know, use the term from the Matrix. If you want to understand the real, you got to go to Brianna's channel. But you're also kind of like the best version of Donald Trump is when he's like at the bodega in New York, he's at the McDonald's, and he's Palestinian. He's sort of a man of the people. And I don't know how he pulls this off being a New York billionaire. And then, but when he gets with the construction guys, he like is like one of them. Eric Trump has that same vibe, but so do you. Yeah. You get down and rub elbows with all of us little people. And, you did a hike, with Luke, there in Florida, and, shows you out with people. What was that like? And what was conversations?
Oh,
people like, hey, tell me what's going on with this. Are they asking you questions? Are they kind of telling you, the things you need to be covering?
Yeah. No, it was pretty interesting. There. Yeah. No, there was people, and you know what? They all don't politically agree. I mean, there's one person who's a progressive running for Congress. I mean, there's all these different like people who come from all different groups politically, just trying to hang out and meet people. And so it's cool to be there because Luke definitely has a way of pulling people in like that.
Yeah.
It was interesting. We learned a lot. We kind of, you know, met a bunch of people. His audience was there. Some of his, you know, followers came out, and then just some people who just wanted to meet other people came out. So it was definitely a cool experience. You know, Luke joked and was like, oh, we didn't get that lost. But we did get very lost, and it was like almost 90 degree weather in like Miami weather, and it was not very comfortable. So I held Luke's feet to the fire on that one for getting us lost.
What are you like in those settings? People seeing your studio, and you know, you're all on point. Are you kind of a diva when you get out in the bugs and that, or you got another edge? Are you kind of tough too? Are you a whiner? What are you like outside of air conditioning in your studio?
It's a tough question, David. I'd say for the first 2 hours, I was calm. And then about when the 2-hour mark hit, I was like, Luke, we're going back. sweating. It's gross. We're all dirty because the dirt's kicking up on you. I'm a little high maintenance. I'm not going to lie. I will never deny that. I warned Luke of it when he invited me in the first place. So I won't deny it, but I wasn't complaining. I got to see lots of turtles and lots of different creatures and things. So that was exciting. But once hour two hit, I was ready to go into the air conditioning.
So you're tough, but you got a limit.
Yeah, we got a limit for sure. Yeah. And even I brought my best friend Allie with me. Allie was done after an hour and a half too. She's like, Brianna, I can't believe you take me at outdoor events like this when I take you to Mar-a-Lago and other events. So she wasn't very happy with the trade-off.
Well, that's good. So you're not as tough as Luke, but you're a fair stretch beyond Allie.
Yep. That's a good balance.
That's a good balance. It's a good place to. It's a man should know his limits. So that's good. Yes. No when to say when. Brianna, thank you for the work that you do. And I think the suppression of truth caused this like whack-a-mole thing of other people popping up. And you're literally the best among them. When I see in all of media at breaking these things down, being consistent, having a predetermined moral and political compass, and then holding those that you're monitoring to that standard of not only your compass, but also to their own standard, which they fall way short of. So thank you for what you do every single day.
All right, Flavor family. My name is Avery Whited. I'm the daughter of David and Stacy. I'm just moving in, so I had to get an order from my pillow and get the things that I needed. So let's look inside. I got some MyPillow towels, kitchen towels. I got some of their Giza sheets. Now, I've never actually been able to use them, but I've heard amazing things from my parents about them. And last but not least, something for Charlie. Hey, dog bed. All right, Charlie, let's go put this in the dryer and fluff it up for you. Come on, buddy. Nice and warm and fluffy. Perfect for my little guy. Come here, Charlie. All right, if you want to get your own products, go to MyPillow.com and use promo code FLYOVER to save up to 66% off.
Do your feet ache and throb in pain with every step you take every day of your life? Well, kiss those days goodbye with slippers from MyPillow.com. How about that flimsy, flat little excuse for a pillow that's nothing but 8 hours of disappointment, causing you pain in your neck every single night? You can wake up with nothing but butterflies and rainbows around your head with a MyPillow pillow. Those hardwood floors hurting your old bones? No more with a MyPillow dog bed. Are your towels worn thin, flimsy, more patchy than Joe Biden's memory? There's nothing better than absorbent towels from MyPillow.com. For all of these products and more, go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code FLYOVER for up to 66% off.
You know what time it is. It's time for an economic update with Dr. Kirk Elliott. Yay!
How's it going?
Great. Thanks again for joining us today, man. With everything going on in our country, everybody wants to know what is going on with the economy, and you are the man with the answers.
Well, it's an election year, and so everyone's going to be lying about things.
Yeah, right? True.
I mean, more so than normal.
Yes.
Yeah, more so than normal. But here's where, if we look at what happened during the Trump presidency, what happened during the Biden presidency, it is so opposite, right? But it's the difference in ideology, in my opinion. You've got Trump, who's a nationalist. He cares, which means it's not a negative term. It means he cares about his country more than the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. Biden is a globalist, cares more about the rest of the world than he does his own country, right? I mean, so I think true. It kind of boils down to that. So when you have that philosophy as the backdrop, it's going to affect your decisions, like you're exporting jobs or to other countries, and you're printing money and trying to get people to purchase. But purchase what? Other countries' stuff, right? And so because Trump wanted to make America great again. How do you do that? Bring jobs back to America. How do you do that? Bring manufacturing back to America, right? Biden's doing the opposite. So every decision that these politicians make has implications, right? So let's look at some of them, because I just want to show how Bidenomics actually stinks and what this is doing and how this impacts the markets, right? Because when the economy stinks and you have inflation that's going up, taxes that are going up, cost of borrowing with rising interest rates going up, people are going to spend less. The stock market is a function of revenues, and there's two ways to get revenues. Number one, stimulus money. Okay, sadly, stimulus money is going to be drying up because the BRICS nations took away our petrodollar. Now we're going to have to print our way out of everything. And number two, revenue for companies comes from people spending, right? So stimulus money or us spending. Either way, it's an injection of capital into companies. But we're not spending. We're tapped out as a nation. We're living hand to mouth with rising prices, rising interest rates, rising taxes, lowering wages and higher unemployment. It's like, wow, that is a recipe for disaster. But
no kidding.
That's the effects of Bidenomics. So let's look at a few different things here. Let's look at gas prices.
Yeah. It's
these
back
charts
these days.
Are really nice,
I drive a Ford truck, man. Every time I fill up, it's $100. It's a $100 bill every time you fill up.
Well, it's Same for my truck. It's just a little bit more. Sad thing is I have to fill up mine more than yours because it only gets 8 to 9 miles per gallon. But it's a big truck.
It's a big truck.
But people feel these things. They can hear, oh, the economy's better than ever. You know, when, you know, my uncle was eaten by cannibals and the economy is doing incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, sound bites.
You can lie all you want.
But when they're actually paying for things, you know, people notice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do notice. Yeah, they notice these things. This is why Bill Clinton said it's the economy, stupid, right? It's like people will vote based on their wallet a lot of times. And that's mm-hmm. why these numbers that we're looking at are important. So during Trump, his 4 years, right? Average gasoline price was $2.42. Under Biden, it's $3.54. That's up 46%.
Wow.
Don't tell me inflation's 3.2, right?
Yep.
Gas is up 46.
That's ridiculous. Next one,
real wages. So prices are going up, but wages are coming down, right? So under Biden, you know, you look at these wages and what are those numbers on the left? They're the each quarter since he's been president. And what is the number on the right? That is the actually earnings that people made during that quarter where they come down. So people's average salary or average earnings came down between $300 and $400 per quarter.
Wow.
President. So you add up all those quarters, right? What are we in? 13 of them now since he's been president, something mm-hmm. like that. People losing $400 a quarter for 13 quarters straight. That's a lot of annual income.
No doubt about it. Away,
mm-hmm. Right. So that's a sign of a shrinking economy where people, not only do they have less earnings, prices are going up. And so they can't afford to spend.
Right.
Now, this is a big one. Let's look at interest mortgage rates, right? Because that's one of people's biggest expenses is their house, right? So, mm-hmm. so mortgage rates, when Trump became president, the average mortgage rate on a 30-year mortgage was 4.1%. By the time he was done, it was 2.8%. So mortgage rates came down 32% while he was president. Biden, on the other hand, well, 2.8% when he started, because that's where Trump ended. But now 6.8%. They're up 146%.
Wow.
And he's not even done yet, right? But why did it go up 146%? Because you use rising interest rates to slow down inflation, because he is creating a ton of inflation by printing money like there's no tomorrow, which brings us to the next stupid Bidenomics plan, right? Which is, so mortgage rates going through the roof. What are savings rates, right? People... Mm-hmm. aren't saving as much. From during Trump's years, savings went up 129%. During Biden's years, down 72%. Because wow. they can't afford it, they're digging into their savings month after month after month, trying to make ends meet. Is that signs of a strong economy or a sluggish one?
Definitely sluggish, no doubt about it.
So Jeepers. Then what's that, David?
Just holy cow.
I mean, blown that is away.
I mean, hope is so important, you know, and when you remove hope from the mm-hmm. population and, you know, the news cycles, all these things are bad, but when you're worse, when you've used your savings just to pay the bills,
mm-hmm.
you know, it becomes a very hopeless, you know, emotion in the country because you're going, yep. you know, you're going backwards.
And they can lie all they want. They can say everything that they want, but people know. People know what they're spending. They know what it used to feel like, what it feels like now. You can't lie your way out of this.
Yeah, you absolutely can't. Now, this next chart that came from MRC's research, I don't really like this chart because the way that the government measures inflation and prices are just totally wrong. Right. Consumer price index. This is what I did my first dissertation on. They substitute things in and out. So this one's kind of meaningless. But what it points to is prices went up slower with Trump than they did with Biden. I mean, really, Biden's prices are going up three times faster. So the three times faster is an accurate number. Mm-hmm. The number that they're reporting is consumer price index, which is wrong. right? It's totally understated. But the next one, also understated, but what it shows is average monthly inflation under Trump is 1.9%. Under Biden, it's 5.5%.
Again, that's monthly.
Monthly. So this is consumer price index, which is understated on purpose since the Clinton years. So my research that I did my dissertation on showed that we should be at probably unofficially 12 to 15% inflation right now. If you compare apples to apples of where it was in the 1980s when they actually measured inflation appropriately, right? Mm-hmm. Which is why Reagan had to jack up interest rates to 18% to slow down inflation that was 14.3%. So understated, but what this shows is what? That almost 2.5 times greater inflation under Biden than under Trump. But the numbers are off. The numbers should be 12 to 15%, which would make Trump's inflation truly like more in the 5% range, right? So these numbers have been validated last week. One of the Council of Economic Advisors economists under Obama said, you know what? Inflation is like over 18.1% under Biden. It's like, okay, somebody from their own side is actually telling the truth. Yeah. About inflation. And then Larry Fink at BlackRock says true inflation is more like 10 to 12%. So those numbers are in the ballpark I've been talking about for a long time, mm-hmm. right? Not these bogus government numbers, but really we've got persisting inflation. The bottom line is under Biden, about 2.5 times greater than Trump. Prices going up 3 times greater than Trump. Savings rates, totally down. Mm-hmm. Biden down 72%, Trump up 129%. Mortgage rates up 146% under Biden, where they were minus 32% with Trump. You look at all these numbers and it's like, how could anybody vote for Biden?
Right.
When Clinton said, it's the economy, stupid. People vote with their wallets. Well, I don't know. You've got all kinds of electoral issues and things of that nature. But what I think we're going to see is this is going to kind of spin ugly soon as the stock market starts crumbling down, and the election could be very, very good for freedom loving people because the economy is so bad. This is where Trump got a bad rap a few weeks ago when he said that he wants the economy to fail before the election. That was not the intent of that saying. He's saying, this is my paraphrase. The economy is going to fail, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I'd rather it be done before I get in rather than after, because if it happens after, I'm getting blamed for it, right? Even though he had nothing to do with it.
Right.
So the point is the economy is going to fail. These numbers are proving that it's going to fail. And Trump has shown under his tenure as president that he can grow the economy. That's what this country needs. And boy, these numbers are pretty drastic. It's no wonder you and I keep talking about how the stock market is overvalued. It's going to keep coming down. This is why gold and silver are persisting, because the inflationary pressures are there. And most of America is feeling the pinch, the hurt of not being able to make ends meet. And that brings financial stress, relationship trouble, health issues. Mm-hmm. It's like our goal is to take this holistic approach to investing, be in the right place at the right time, educate you as to why we're doing what we're doing so that financial anxiety can melt away over time.
So good.
Can I ask you a question? It takes more dollars to get anything. Like, I don't know, we've had this cup 3 years, but you know, however many dollars it took to get this cup, you know, it would take more dollars mm-hmm. today. And so, mm-hmm. you know, if say we were investing in this as a store of wealth, it would take more dollars to get it today than it did 3 years ago. How much of it, you know, we use this term like gold is going up, silver is going up. Are they going up, or is it just it takes more dollars to get them? It takes more dollars to pay for, you know, everything today. So the dollar itself is going like this, is its purchasing yeah. power on anything, whether it's this ceramic mug or mm-hmm. this microphone or this watch or any, whatever it is, everything, it takes more dollars to get it. So by having something that is a solid value and doesn't depreciate, is it just as this dollar continues to slide at an increasing rate, is that what makes gold and silver such a good place to be? And is it that they're going up, or is it just that the dollar's going down?
It's actually both. If you look at like how many ounces of gold did it take to buy a house in 1929, you know, when the Federal Reserve, right before the Federal Reserve Act, it was about 129 ounces. Okay. I'm sorry, 248 ounces. Today it's like 129. It's like, whoa. So yes, it takes fewer ounces of gold to actually buy a house now, which tells us that gold is actually doing better. So is silver, than just being a one-to-one, you know, as prices go up and gold is going up at the same rate. So it's a hedge. Right. Gold is actually going up faster than the prices are going up. So it actually is one of those, well, this is actually really great. Not only are you protecting, but you're actually growing. So it's some of both, David.
So it's almost, would have been half on the gold. So it was 248 ounces, you said, and now it's like 120 some?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So
a lot more dollars, a lot less gold.
Yes.
So, you know, that's the trend. I want to also dispel one of the things, with a conversation with a friend who was like, man, I've always wanted to get into gold and silver. It seems like a great investment, but I want to keep my money more liquid. And I'm like, I think that's a perception people have. When you have gold or silver, we were obviously all silver, at a depository, like it's about 48 hours and you have it back in your hands and you can do whatever you want with. It's not like, you know, liquidating a piece of property or anything else.
That you're having to sell yourself, because that's a relationship we have with Dr. Kirk.
I don't have to go find a buyer. I just like, bam, make a phone call. Yeah. In 48 hours, that money is in my account. Done. Without any effort.
With us, it is, because we do bullion.
Mm-hmm.
So it has nothing to do with us as a firm. It has to do with what kind of gold and silver are you buying. Bullion being a manufacturing metal, it's always in demand from Sony, Samsung, LG, different countries, right? If you buy a rare coin, like, okay, I love Trump, but like a Trump coin, for example, sure, or something old that was minted in the 1920s, it's not something that the depositories want or need for manufacturing. So you're going to have to sales guy call and say, hey, have I got a deal for you? We've got this excess inventory. And let's say that you were trying to sell that to your dealer because you wanted money. They can't give you money unless they sell it to somebody else. So there's not a built-in market for rare coins, old coins, what we call in the industry semi-numismatic coins. They're not 100% liquid unless the dealer you're working with that sold you those things can get rid of them, mm-hmm, right? So what if that company goes out of business and they were the only firm marketing some kind of a rare coin? It's like, well, crud. It's like, I don't know if I can get rid of it. You can always get rid of it, but you'd have to sell it to the depository and they're just going to melt it, right? Yeah. So you're going to get like less than bullion prices, because you're going to get less
spot
price. So this is why it is so, so, so important that when you're allocating into gold and silver, that you simply just do bullion, because there's always a market for it. I don't have to make a market for it. It's already there. I just make a phone call.
You're not selling it like a collector baseball card or something like that. You got to create a market for it. So I love that. It makes a difference where you acquire your gold and silver when it comes time to get back out, especially. There's no commission when we sell. It's all wins, and we get to keep all those gains.
And it's a relationship that you have with Dr. Kirk. It's not a one-time purchase. So when you go to Flyover Gold, it's a place you can fill out your information. When you do that, someone from Dr. Kirk's team will get a hold of you to set up a free consultation. It doesn't cost you any money whatsoever. Get all your questions answered, find out what your options are, or you can also call 720-605-3900 to set up that free consultation. Again, it's 720-605-3900. Or go to flyovergold.com. Dr. Kirk, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. This is a crazy time to be alive.
Well, just in our lifetime, used to be where you'd hear your grandparents talk about how cheap gas was and stuff, and it was 75 years before, 50 years before.
And so we've seen a lot of changes since Biden took office. $700 more a month
than what you needed in January of 21 when he took office.
You might hear these kind of things and think, oh, that's overwhelming. I can't control the government. I can't control what they're doing. I can't control the spending. But we can take care of ourselves.
You want to make sure that you're buying bullion from somebody that you can trust and someone that does not charge you a commission when you go to sell.
If there's going to be a commission, have it on the front end, not the back end when it skyrockets. And now you're like, oh my gosh, look at this big, huge commission I got to pay because it's on the back end before I sell it.
You can buy an ounce of silver for $23. So this is something everybody can get into. And if silver goes to $50, if it goes to $75, if it goes to $100, all of those profits are yours. And that's happening while the dollar is buying less and less at the actual grocery store.
So you can go to flyovergold.com, fill out your information. When you do that, someone from Dr. Kirk's team will get a hold of you to set up a free consultation. It doesn't cost you any money whatsoever. Or to do the same thing, you can just call 720-605-3900.
If you want to do anything worthwhile in life, you've got to be hungry. It's better to be prepared for an opportunity and not have one than to have an opportunity and not be prepared. So every day I was working to develop myself. And that's what you must do.
I promise you one thing. You have never seen any player in the entire country play as hard as I will play the rest of the season.
Get here! Hey, we got 30 minutes for the rest of our lives! 30 minutes for the rest of our lives!
There were none before me, and there will be none after me. Therefore, that makes me the one and only. Young and single and love to mingle. Certified, bona fide, and dubly qualified to bring you satisfaction, a whole lot of action. Look out, baby, I'm your love man. I was hungry. I was hungry. You gotta be hungry.
Hey, Flyover family, come join us June the 27th and 28th, 2024 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're going to be there with Clay Clark, an amazing group of individuals that have made such a difference in so many people's lives.
Do you want to increase your production in a job? Do you want to make more sales? Do you want to own your own business? Do you want to have breakthroughs financially? The key to that is knowledge.
Clay Clark is anointed to help people in business. We've watched him over the last couple of years, and we've been blown away. He's part owner of over 160 businesses, $2.4 billion in sales.
Before politics and the Great Reset came into Clay's life, he had the number one rated Apple podcast. And he interviewed people like Anthony Robbins, Seth Godin, the top authors, the top business minds in the world. At this specific event, there's an interesting cast of characters that come from gangs to American Idol.
Some of the guests that are going to be there: Michael Levine, Colton Dixon, Peter Tompkins, John Lee Dumas, Mondo De La Vega,
and Tim Tebow. They're there to share what they've done and their breakthroughs and what their story is. And then Clay lays his map of business success, calls the path for every person to follow.
So you may be sitting there thinking, okay, I get it. What do I have to do? Go to thrivetimeshow.com. When you get there, the tickets are $250 or whatever you can afford. Yes, you got that right. $250 or whatever you can afford. You can name your price. So there are no excuses. You have to join us there. There are only a few VIP tickets left. Like David said, special dinner and special time with the speakers. That is $500 why they last. So $500, only a few left if you want a VIP ticket. We want to meet these speakers as well. So we got VIP tickets.
I want to meet Tim Tebow.
I do too. The date is June the 27th and 28th, 2024 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Go to thrivetimeshow.com to get your tickets. For more great content, go to flyoverconservatives.com.